And the way we're learning here is that you have a machlokas in Rashi, I guess, and the Rambam. Is that Rashi says, everyone's agreeing that when it comes to like a metal, there's no shear. And when it comes to wood and stone, there is a shear. Due to the size of the weapon. So we're learning. Right, so we're learning is that definitely everyone agrees that by metal there's no shear, there's no size of the weapon. But by wood and by stone there is. Okay, you have to be Meshire. And what we're saying is that Rashi, it sounds like Rashi is saying that the shear is the size of your hand, because that's how he learns it from the pasuk of Bikli Yetziyad. And Rashi says, Sheyesh Mashma, Sheyesh Ba, Malo Achiza. Sounds like it has the amount that you could hold it. Shdibina Shura, because you need a shear. There's a minimum size. Okay, there's a minimum size. Fine. So what he's saying is that the shear is, that is the shear. What is the shear? The shear is malachiza. That's how much it has to have. Malachiza. So that's what we're learning. But the Rambam doesn't have anything like that. He doesn't bring down that size. He just says, in fact, if you look carefully, the Rambam doesn't even learn it from Kli Yetziyad. Because the pasuk says, Kli Yetziyad Asher Yamaspa. Which means a wooden handle clay, which you will die with it. So he learns it not from the hand part even, just from the fact that it says Ashayamusba means that you could kill with it. So it seems like within the Rambam, I mean he's certainly not saying the din of a handle. I don't know. It's true, but I don't know. The Rambam doesn't have that exactly. But the question is like, is the shear, does Rashi mean that the shear is that size, the hand? Or does Rashi also mean that you have to evaluate it? So,
meaning if it was a yad that you wouldn't be able to, wouldn't satisfy the Rashi, would Rashi say it doesn't matter?
Yeah, well, is Rashi saying, well, or more the opposite, does Rashi say it has to actually be Melachiza? I mean, he says, Mashra Sheshba Melachiza. Sounds like it has the amount of Melachiza. But is Rashi just saying that it's a reference that you need shear? But he agrees with the Rambam that the shear is kind of up there. You know, you have to figure it out. Or is Rashi actually saying that is the shear? The shear is that it holds, the size of your hand. I mean, we've been saying that that's the shear. Why not? It sounds like that's the case, and that's really the shear, and that's the way shear normally works. The shear and the kli. It's funny because all the other things don't exactly have shear. You know, like how strong he has to be, or this. But we don't know. I mean, all Rashi has, that's all we have in Rashi. Rashi didn't write the Rambam, so we don't know all the different parameters. But he says, this is according to the way we learn Pshat, is that Rashi's saying the shear is that it's a handle, the size of your hand, or whatever, and the Rambam's learning that the shear is kind of up in there. You have to evaluate this kli, and is this kli roi to kill on this limb? You have to consider the limb, you have to consider how strong the guy is, and you have to consider, I mean, it's a whole series of things. But the one thing is that there is the Rambam saying. I mean, the Rambam saying is that Barzal not. Barzal doesn't have a shear, which seems like you don't even have all the stuff of evaluating.
Is your question equally both ways?
The thing. I mean, it would sound from Rashi that it's a shear that you look at the size of the weapon. So weapon's a weapon. If it's a rock that's the size of your hand, then that's the shear. Now, this type of rock is a softish rock and whatever. Yeah, where it hit, how far away. I don't know. Rashi doesn't. It's hard to know. I mean, the Rambam gets these things from the Sifri or whatever. It's not really Gemara's. I mean, I looked in the Gemara there. I mean, the Gemara in Bava Kamma does talk about these things a little bit. But it's kind of, I don't know. It does sound like there's an idea of Ombad evaluating things. It does seem like Rashi has that also. So Gemara does mention it. So that's why it's just hard to know. I mean, we're just going with this one Rashi that's, you know. But I'd say at the very least, it's a good Havamina. I mean, Rashi's easier one to understand. I mean, a shear is usually a shear. Shear means a shear. Shear is a fixed thing usually. What kind of shear is it? The shear is that basically Bezin starts evaluating all the different factors. Like, what kind of shear is that? So, I mean, I think for our purposes, let's learn it as a machlokas. Rashi's saying it's a fixed shear, I'm saying not. But maybe Rashi agrees with the Rambam. I mean, I don't know. He's not that explicit, and no one else says this idea that it's actually the shear of the hand. So it just, you know, I hate to just go on that one, like, implication in Rashi, where I could see a different way to read Rashi, although I think it doesn't sound that way. So what's the Rambam's idea? What's the Rambam's idea of the shear? Like, let's also start as machlokas. Okay, so what's the machlokas? What's the svar for the Mahalagas? Okay, so I'm thinking along the Rindy's path here, that that the question is Rashi is a normal shear? I mean, a shear is a fixed, normally is a fixed halachic thing. But you know, the size of your hand. But the Rambam is saying is that he holds that you can't have a shear like that. It's just too rigid in the area of killing. You want to say the shear is you're defining a Maaser Tzicha, and a Maaser Tzicha has a million factors which go into it. And you can't just say that we'll define the weapon as the size of your hand. It's too rigid. Rather, the Rambam learns, so what is the shear? The shear, according to the Rambam, is Asher Yamaspa. Okay, that's the shear. It's like a qualitative shear. The shear can't be pinpointed to like a particular measurement, but it's a shear is that the haka'ah, the hitting, had was of sufficient strength that it was a killing, had the quality of hitting. What? A fatal, right? A fatal blow. And the shear is, right, the shear is that it's not just a blow, but it's a fatal blow. So that's a conceptual shear. See, it's shear because it's like a quantity of a blow. There's different blows. So the blow has to be sufficiently strong, such that, or sufficiently designed, such that it's a she'amasba. But it's like it's giving the blow that quantity of the head is gives it a new gives it the quality of a she'amasba, like that type of a head. It gives the quality of a ma'aser tzicha. You know what I mean? But it's not the shear is, and that's machlokas. Is could you have a shear like that? The Rambam is positing that the shear is like a shear of the quality of Hashem Haspa, and that quality is nitan to Bezdin. Right? That's how do you evaluate that? Oh, well, since Mises Bezdin is always through Bezdin, right? The Ritzicha is always evaluated in the Bezdin. So the quantity, if it's Hashem Haspa or it's not Hashem Haspa, is given over to the Dayanim, and they have to decide on a case by case basis. It's not like a fixed, rigid shear in ordinary cases. It's a conceptual shear. That it's a blow which it could kill, and that the particulars of whether this blow is has that nature is given over to Bezin to evaluate on a case by case basis. Whereas Rashi learns that that's not a shear. She has to work like Kal Torakula, where there's a concrete tzura to the thing. You know, or at least in this case, he holds that's not. At least Rashi, that's not Rashi. I don't know if he holds he can't have that, but that's not what the way. When it came to weapon, the Torah set up a shear. It could be Rashi will agree in other facets of it. It has to be Tali and Bezdin. But he holds when it came to the weapon, the Torah is like a chafta. So the Torah is able to give a rigid shear. Perhaps Rashi will say other things. The Torah left it more open. But when it's possible in a weapon, it's possible to give a quantitative shear. I mean, like, how strong the guy is, there's no real way to get to fix the quantity on that. So maybe that, you'd say, is, maybe Rashi would agree, you could do, it's given for the Bezdin. But he holds, this is lends itself to shear, and Torah did, Torah set up a fixed shear. What Rambam's learning is, the shear is a conceptual idea of a she'am asba. It's fatal. The blow has, you make a blow stronger, 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 eventually becomes a fatal blow. So it's like the quantity is such that it could cause no one doesn't cause damage, but it causes death. And when it has that amount of that strength to it, then it's defined as Ritzicha. Yeah. So now the Rambam saying though that that's even though that's the shear, that the shear of the she'amaspa, that's by other weapons. But when the weapon is metal, a sharp metal object, the Torah basically said there's no shear. Is that any blow, apparently it's saying is that any a blow of iron with an eye with a metal sharp thing is intrinsically defined as a shameless blow. Or is that sort of intrinsically defined as a fatal blow? It's not subject to a quantitative like
he doesn't have the exception of if you use it.
No. He has it that the metal has to be sharp. Not that you have to use it sharply, but it has to be sharp. So if you have a metal bar, he doesn't care how you use it, but the chafta. So he holds, apparently the Torah is saying is that an attack with metal, with a metal sharp thing, is that chafta, the Torah objectively defined that as a fatal blow. Hitting someone with a sharp, you know, with a sharp thing is defined as a fatal blow, objectively. But anything else, any other attack, the quality of fatal is dependent upon quantity. Well, there's other things that you attack someone with. Other things that you attack someone with. So it depends on the quantity. You attack someone with a stone. So it depends on the quantitative factors. How strong is the attack? Which is based on how strong you are, how far away you are, all the different things. So then this idea of becoming fatal is based on quantity. And the quantity is need to enter the best and to evaluate. But he's saying is that an attack with a knife is intrinsically defined as a fatal blow. And the Torah did not hang that on quantity. It's not dependent on quantity. I mean, that's the way Rambam's learning the Gemara, but that Galav Yadol of Nei Mishan Vaholam, that's revealed before God, Shabarzal Meimus Bechalshev. Well, the Gemara says it. It's a Gemara. So Barzal kills with any amount. So it's saying is that he learns that means, the Torah is saying is that an attack with a knife is a lethal blow. I mean, it's interesting that he doesn't say that you have to do it and you stab the guy. That's just interesting. He doesn't say that. Doesn't have that factor. He just says, because I guess he's learning, that's already getting into the particulars of the how you do it. That's already part of the shiur. Yeah, and the idea is that this weapon is mufka from shiur. This weapon is mufka from shiur. See, then already you'd be saying well, then weapon lends itself to shiur. It depends if you do it like this, you do it like that, you do it like that. That's the whole point, is that that's what you do by other weapons. By other weapons, the Torah says it's based on shiur, and Bezin has to evaluate all these things. How did he use it? But the saying is, by Kli Barzel, since just generically, Barzel kills with Kalshu, the Torah, for whatever reason, Torah did it. But Torah said is that that's not subject to shiur. But simply any attack with a knife, with a sharp metal object, is a Tzicha. And it has the quality of fatal intrinsically. Whereas in the other ones, the quality of fatal is based on the strength of the attack, which is based on all the different factors, which is totally in the eyes of the judges. Right. Okay, so now, what about that question about the 2 and the 10 and the 100? Yes, the Rambam says basically is that not only do you have to evaluate in the weapon and the... not only evaluate the weapon and where he hits him, but you also have to evaluate the strength of the hit. Okay, and what does that mean, the strength of the hit? He says, it's funny, it's hard to understand when he's all together. What does it mean, evaluate the strength of the hit? So you think, we'll see how hard he hit him. Doesn't say that. But he says, the way you evaluate the strength of the hit is, he says, that you can't compare if you throw a rock at a guy from 2 amos to throwing a rock at a guy from 10 amos. Because when it's 10 amos away, it's stronger. And also, you can't compare 10 amos and 100 amos. Because the further away you get, it becomes less strong. So the problem is bad. It's contradictory. Because so you think is that, he says, when it gets further away, from 10 to 100, the further away you get, the stronger, the weaker it gets. Because, right? But then in 2 and 10, he says 10 is stronger than 2. But shouldn't it be that it's even closer? Because presumably the idea is that as time goes on, it kind of slows down by the way when there's air resistance or whatever, and therefore the thing is less strong. So then how is it that 2 is weaker than 10? 2 is even closer. It's a point blank rock attack.
Is that all he said? I mean, doesn't he have to measure out the distance?
Yes. Yeah, that's also interesting. He doesn't evaluate how strong you attack. Well, no, he does say that you also evaluate the guy. How strong he is, if he's strong or weak, both. If he's strong or weak, or if he's old or young, if he's sick or healthy, and both guys you evaluate. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say, though, you evaluate how hard he threw it. Right, I guess you can't do that.
You can know how strong this person is, right. How hard
exactly, right.
Right.
Right. So the question is right, that's the problem, it just sounds impossible. It defies explanation.
Right.
Okay, so I'm thinking like this. I'm thinking to answer this question is that you're trying to do is to evaluate the strength of the hit, the force of the hit. That's what Bezdin has to do. Now Bezdin didn't. You can never know how hard he threw it. Right? There's no like speedometer over there or whatever, you know, handy. I mean, it's the past. Right, I mean, this thing is, I mean, what's the witness? I guess you could ask the witness, but what's the witness going to say? He threw it very hard, pretty hard, not so hard, and there's no way to quantify. So how do you have an idea that Bezin has to evaluate the strength of the hit? You can evaluate how strong the guy is, you can evaluate where he did it, you can evaluate the weapon, How are you supposed to evaluate the strength of that? Right? The strength of that. So the thing is like this, is that it could be, so for one thing is you do it, so the answer is based on distance. Okay? Based on distance. Okay? I don't know if it's the only way, but that's the only way I'm bringing on distance. So for instance, if you throw something at a guy from very, very far away, so by the time it hits the guy, it slows down. Okay, the further away it gets, it's going to slow down, it's going to have less force. So 100 miles away, you throw something at the guy, it's going to hit him, but it's not going to kill him. I mean, it doesn't have enough force. But we don't know. I mean, we don't ask them, was it going super duper fast, or was it going super duper slow? I mean, there's no way to do that. So what you just have to do is that the quantity of 100 amas, in general, the action of throwing a rock at a guy 100 amas away, that maisa is not a maisa, which is a maisa ratzicha. Okay, it's a maisa of attacking a guy, annoying a guy, whatever, but it's not a maisa of killing. Okay, it doesn't have sufficient strength. But 10 amas away, the action of throwing a rock at a guy from 10 amas away is an action of killing. Okay, that's an action which kills a guy. You have a good enough rock, a sizable enough rock, you throw it at the guy 10 amas away, that action is an action of killing. Fine, that's not the hard part, right? Okay. Now, the thing is, what about 2 amas away? So the thing is that I say, here's the deal. That when you're throwing a rock at a guy from 2 amas away, there's two ways you can throw a rock at a guy 2 amas away. You could basically really peg him, throw it super hard at the guy's head, and kill him. Or you could just basically, lob it to him. I mean, to get a rock to go 2 amas, you don't need much strength. Okay, so basically, you can just do a little light throw, and it'll go to the guy 2 amas. Right? So you can't say the action of throwing a rock 2 amas is a fatal action. Right? If kids throw rocks far, so you can kill someone like that. Go throw a rock 10 amas. That's in order to get it 10 amas, that has to have a certain strength. The rock's not going 10 amas if you don't give it a certain amount of strength. Okay, and once it gets that amount of strength, then it could kill a guy. But for the rock to go 2 amas, it doesn't have to have any strength at all. It's a little rocky. If you peg a guy really hard at 2 amas away, of course it will kill him. But if you throw it lightly, then it won't kill him. And you couldn't throw it lightly.
You can't know from distance at least how strong it was.
You can't know from distance alone how strong it was. From 2 amas alone, you don't know. It's distance alone, exactly. In other words, we're not looking at, at how hard he threw it or how light he threw it. That's not what you're doing, because that's a matter of, bottom line is he died, but we have to know in the Maisa. So you have to go by qua factors in the Maisa. Now, you can't ask the Edom, did he throw it hard or not so hard? That's something that you can't evaluate. That's a subjective thing. You can say, did he lob it or did he whatever? I mean, these things are loose. You know, the way you evaluate it is by the distance. And the distance of 2 amas alone doesn't prove that he threw it in a fatal way. Because throwing a rock 2 amas could be fatal, cannot be fatal. It all depends on how he threw it, which is not quantifiable. No way to evaluate that. But throwing a 10 amas, is in order to get a 10 amas, you need it to be strong. You can't throw a wimpy thing. You can't throw it. If you have a good rock, think of a good boulder or whatever, the size of your hand, and you're throwing it 20 feet or whatever, so that's going to hit the guy, that could kill the guy. Because you can't throw it light. How are you going to throw a rock lightly 20 amas?
Couldn't you throw it with just enough force to make it there, but stop when it gets there?
No, I guess it doesn't work that way. I don't think it works that way. I mean, it doesn't stop.
And you throw something with just enough force to know how far it's going to go.
And it's going to hit him? You mean it will land on the floor? I mean, 10 amas, I guess, is going to mean. I mean, you have to evaluate the quantities. I mean, you have to figure out the quantities. But there's a quantity where it's going to, I mean, either way, you're going to have to give it height. And then you give it height, it's going to get gravity, you know? So, you're going to end up getting it. It's going to end up having a certain speed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they have to evaluate. But the point is that the norms are showing, the quantities you have to figure out. But what he's showing you is that it has to be a big enough quantity such that you could say definitively that it was a good, it was a real throw. And that's what they have to do. You have to remove it from being a little pass, a little lob. So it was when it's enough quantity, you know that it was a real throw. But if it's too far, then you know that in general it's gonna get too weak. Theirs is gonna really slow down too much. So that's what they have to evaluate. Is delineating for you 2 factors in your evaluation. Let me just say one more thing. So I'll answer. So just to clarify, maybe change it a little bit. Is that there's 2 ways to throw a rock. Okay, it could be that he lobbed it or it could be that he threw it. Okay, let's say there's two ways, two types of rock throwing. Okay, just lobbing it or really throwing it.
What's the difference?
Lobbing is I don't know what word it is, but to just throw a small little pass, you know. Like there's a really throwing hard and throwing soft. Let's call it soft rock throwing and hard rock throwing. Right? Those are two types of things. I mean, there's an idea of really, there's two types of throw. I mean, there's an idea of a guy's close by and I give a little pass of a rock. That's not a little fatal blow. Then there's like a throw. A throw of a rock kills. I mean, throwing rocks kill. But what's the difference between throwing and throwing? I mean, they're both throwing. If you're standing 2 feet away from me and I throw you a rock, wouldn't you say I threw it? So, I mean, throwing rock. But they're not the same thing. One of them's like just a little toss, and one of them's a real throw. Right? And there's no real words for it, but one of them's fatal, one of them's not fatal. Throwing rocks 2 feet away is not, you know, is not fatal. But throwing rocks, a real throw of a weapon is a fatal thing. Once it's a real throw. So the idea is that in two amas, you can't say whether it's a real throw or not a real throw. Okay? Because two amas, you don't know. Depends. I mean, the shear alone, it could have been just a little bit of a little toss, a little light thing. But 10 amas, in order for them to go 10 amas, you know that it's a real throw. So now once it's a real throw, so then you have to say is, well, how fast is it going? Because once it's a real throw, the question is did it slow down or not? So you know the guy, once it's 10 amas, you know the guy did a real throw. Or 100 amas, you also know he did a real throw. Once it's past 2 or whatever, you know he did a real throw. Now that he did a real throw, the question is, okay, fine, but how hard was it going? So they say is that generically is by 100 amas the thing's going to slow down a lot. Okay, the air is going to take a good toll on the thing and it's going to slow down a lot. But when it's going within 10 amas, generically the air resistance has little effect on it. So you know he did a real throw of the thing, and 10 amas is basically almost nothing vis-a-vis the wind resistance. So therefore, generically, the throwing a rock 10 amas has the quality of a real throw, and as the amount of air resistance is such that it's not going to slow it down. So therefore, the throwing a rock 10 amas is a ma'aser tzicha. But throwing it 2 amas could equally be just like a little toss. And throwing it 100 amas is a throw, but it's a throw which has sufficiently died down in its strength. Murderous action. We're just saying is the action of throwing something 100 amas away is not a murder. It's not an action of murder. It's not. It doesn't kill. In general, it doesn't. I mean, a bullet is different because it goes so fast or whatever. But I mean, throwing something in general, a human arm throwing something that far isn't going to kill a guy. It's not. You're not going to have. It's not going to have enough force in general. So the action of throwing something 100 amas is not going to be a murderous action. The action of throwing something. The action of throwing something 10 amas in general. If you throw it. Which you're going to have to if you want to go 10 amos, so then that's going to be murderous. But 2 amos, so it depends. If you throw it, if you just like give it a little bit of a push. So if you throw it, but there's no way to quantify whether you gave it a push or a throw, so therefore you can't say the action of throwing it 2 amos is a murderous action. I mean, I think what's interesting here is, I think this answer makes sense. But you see, I guess what you learn from it is that the answer is not really from physics, it's from halacha. Right? I mean, it's
what do you measure?
Yeah, it's the idea is like you have to realize that you're not, if you're just looking at how hard the guy threw it, then of course it doesn't make any sense because the guy throws it super hard, of course, so 2 amos, of course you kill like that. But he's saying that can't register halachically how hard he actually threw it. So you have to figure out how hard he threw it, and the koch, the arm saying the koch al-kaya means the strength of the thing, and then all of a sudden he's giving you quantities of distance. So you realize that he's saying is the way you halachify, the way Bezdin could halachically figure out the strength of the thing is based on quantity. Now once you take a quantity, you have to realize is that this quantity, you don't know if the guy threw it hard or soft. The only way is if it's past a certain distance. So it has to be past a certain distance. In order to get a 10 amos, it has to be a kocha yosar. So that's what Bezdin has to figure out, exactly the point at which it's hard enough that in order to get it that distance is hard enough to kill. And it's not, there's not enough air resistance. I mean, different things could be different, you know, different utensils, different objects could have different based on the aerodynamics of the object and its ability to kill. I mean, that's all part of what Bezdin can evaluate. He's just giving you a basic, a surface thing. Look, it could be if you have a boulder, a huge boulder, then even 2 amas is going to be a thing. I mean, it's so big, it's going to kill no matter what. I mean, it all depends on the item you're using also. Yeah. So let's do some pshat for tomorrow. Let's figure out, set up some problems here. So the next case in the Mishnah is where you push a guy's head under the water. Push him under water, hold him in the fire. So that's the case, and he can't get out. So that's a case where you chayev misa. That's a ma'aser tzicha. Okay? Chayev for that. So the Gemara says, like, yeah. So the Mishnah had two cases. It had a case of where you hold him under the water and he can't get out, so you're chayev. And then it had a case where you throw him, you push him into the water, push him into the fire, and he can get out, but he doesn't, so then you're potter. Because you basically, he could have gotten out. Okay, fine. Happens to be he didn't, but that's not due to you. You're just like a cause. That's not a ma'aser tzicha. Apparently, if you push the... Yeah, okay, fine. So let's see. So Gemara says like this. He says, Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalan Vesefer Rabusa Kamashmalan. There's a Chiddush in the Reisha and there's a Chiddush in the Sefer. Chiddush in the first part, Chiddush in the second part. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalan Afagav Lav Yehu Dachafo. Even though you didn't push him in the water, Kivon De'en Yachal Alos Misham Omeis Chayev. Since he can't get out, since you're basically preventing him from being able to get his head above the water and he dies, you're Chayev. Rashi. Afagav Lav Yehu Dachafo Ela Nafal Me'atzmo. So let's say the guy falls in by himself. Then you just basically hold his hand so he can't get his head above the water. So again, the case is the guy falls in the water and he's underwater. Now he would get up above water on his own, and you simply hold him, you keep him underwater. So it says you would think the Havmin would be an achayah for that because you didn't push him under. You're just preventing him from getting up. So it's teaching you no. Since you are basically preventing him from raising his head, so therefore you're chayah. Okay, so that's the first thing. Yeah, that's one thing to define. Okay, then the verse says, "In Seifa Kamashmal, and after you have the Gdachafo, Kim Yachalalos Misham Ameis, Potter." So the Seifa teaching you is that, Shachalalos Misham Adam Acher, Kiyotze Bezev, Esha Garmalo, Potter Hadochek, Lovid Shir Misa. So you push a guy in the water, and a guy of that strength, and that capacity, that swimming ability, or whatever, really could swim, would be able to live. Okay, you push him in a river, that he, a lake, that he's able to swim out of. But for whatever reason, the guy doesn't make it. So he gets a cramp, or I don't know, whatever, some accidental thing. So you would think that you're chayev. Mm-hmm. So it's teaching you now that you're not. It's teaching you're not chayev. Because you didn't do shir misa. It's not the shir, it's not the quantity of misa, because in general, the guy wouldn't die from this. This is harder to understand what the Havmin is. I mean, it seems obvious, because basically you weren't getting to kill him. Why would I think, why would I even think that you would be chayav for that? Okay, but that's how Havmin was kind of there. Okay, then we have, a little further. So the Gemara says, Kavash Minalan. So I think this is the order, the Gemara presents it in a different order, but I think we had to, how do you know altogether that you're chayav for holding guy underwater? How do you know this whole phenomenon? I mean, these are all like details now. How do you know you're chayav holding it underwater? So it says, Amar Shmuel, Damar Kra, O Be'eva. Okay, or if you kill him, or in ambush. Okay, that you kill him, or in hatred. And hatred is hatred. Or in hatred. So what does it mean, O Be'eva? It's an inclusion. So O is extra. L'rabo says, I'm at some same. Okay? Sometimes it's like pressure. I knew Kovish from some Samoshom Slayakim. Like you pressure him there, force him into there that he can't get out. So, is teaching you. It's talking about Oba Eva, Harago, or whatever. You can look at the Pasuk, but basically showing you, it's teaching you that you're Chayev for Mitzamtzim. Okay, for holding a guy underwater or in the fire so he can't get out. Okay? So there's apparently Havmin Askana whether altogether you'd be Chayev for Kovish. For this case. Okay, it's called Kovish. Kavash. Okay, holding him underwater. Okay. So we have three problems. Okay, the first thing is to find what's Havmin Askana about whether or not you're chayav for Kovish. For holding guy underwater. For holding guy in the fire. Second thing is, fine, given that you are chayav for that, let's say if you push him underwater, hold him underwater. But let's say he falls underwater himself and you just prevent him from getting out. Havmin Askana Lechai for that. And then the third thing, what? No. The first thing is the first thing. The second issue is if he falls in and you don't let him come up. I'm doing it backwards order. I'm doing it backwards order.
Oh, okay.
The last thing I think I have to find first. Okay. The last thing is teaching you is the most basic halacha is that you're chayev for doing kavash, for holding under water. So that's you have to define how it's going to whether you're chayev or not. Apparently, you need a limit. If you didn't have an extra limit, you'd say you're not chayev for that. It's teaching you you're chayev for that type of thing. Then, given that you have that idea, now you have two Hamin Maskanos in details of that halacha. One is if he falls in on his own and he falls underwater and you just hold him. And then the other one is if you, so again, I would think that if you're just holding him under, you're not chayev, kamashon, you are chayev. And then the second thing is if you throw him in and he's able to get out, he theoretically he's able to get out, but he just doesn't, so I think you're chayev, kamashon, you're pater. But I mean, the first thing is presumably how do you know you're chayev altogether for holding a guy underwater? Not necessarily if he falls in or he doesn't fall in. The basic case of Kavash isn't necessarily if he falls under on his own. Okay. It's just an idea. You take him and shove him underwater. So you'd say, is it a Chayav Misa for that? So it's easy, you know, that counts as Chayav Misa. You're just, because what are you doing? You could argue you're not killing him, you're just holding him. I mean, no, you wouldn't be Chayav Misa for that. You need a limud. If you didn't have a limud, you'd say you're not Chayav for drowning a guy. That's the first question, whether or not you'd be Chayav for just drowning a guy, for holding him underwater. Then, given that you are chayev for drowning and holding him on the water, let's say he falls in on his own, and then you just prevent him from coming up. Are you chayev for that, or not?
Even with the maskana of the first
one? Yeah, even with the maskana of the first one, I'd say that's only if you take him and shove him underwater. Okay. But if he falls on his own, and then you prevent him from coming up, how do you chayev for that, having maskana? And then the third one is if the guy, if you push him in, but he's a case where he's able to get out, and he just doesn't. So are you chayev about that? Okay, so this should keep us busy for a little bit, okay?